This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The UN Security Council Saturday unanimously approved new sanctions to punish the North Korean government, including a ban on coal and other exports worth over $1 billion. Heritage Foundation Asia expert Bruce Klinger, a former CIA Korean branch chief, says North Korea's nuclear capabilities are real.
North Korea has the ability to soon hit the United States with nuclear weapons. Right now, the missile can reach Los Angeles, Denver, and Chicago, perhaps also New York and Washington, D.C. already.
Meanwhile, North Korea responded to the council's actions, saying it will launch, quote, thousands-fold revenge against the United States over the adoption of those sanctions. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway told ABC's This Week Sunday the investigation into Russia's involvement in the presidential election is a waste of time.
The entire Russia investigation is a hypothetical. The president has called it a fiction, a total fabrication to excuse the colossal and unexpected unwanted defeat of Hillary Clinton in last year's election.
Conway said the Russia investigation will eventually come up with nothing. So what's next for the health care bill, since Republicans have been unable to advance that health care bill in Congress? Democratic Senator Chris Coons says he'd like to see both parties work together on health care reform.
What I've heard in Delaware is that about half of the projected increase in annual rates is because of uncertainty in the marketplace. And so we need to come together quickly in a bipartisan way to strengthen and stabilize the individual marketplace. We also need to begin working across the aisle to find ways to fix what is not working about the Affordable Care Act while still keeping in place the expansions that made better health care accessible for millions of Americans.
Coons was a guest on ABC's This Week. Trump administration's first sign-up is for 2018, starts on November 1st. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Fire the stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Larry Levin, and I've been on the trading floor for 23 years. I was one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. I'm also the president of Trading Advantage, a leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional day traders. Now, for a limited time, I'm offering one of the trading techniques I use to make $1.9 million for free. Get started right now by calling 800-288-0092. Leave your email address on my voicemail, and I'll email you my free trading technique and my daily insider market report at no cost to you. This is the very information I use to build my fortune.
I was getting ready to retire. I still needed to make extra income, but I didn't want to work for anyone else. Because of Larry and his excellent instructors, I could trade successfully for myself, and I'll never have to work for someone else again.
Fire the stockbroker and hire the most dependable person you know, you. Again, call in the next 90 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-288-0092. That's 800-288-0092.
The U.S. is condemning a move by Venezuela's new Constitutional Assembly to oust the country's chief prosecutor.
State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauer says the removal of Venezuela's chief prosecutor, Luisa Ortega, was illegal. Nauer also calls this move an attempt to tighten the authoritarian dictatorship of President Nicolas Maduro. Nauer says the U.S. applauds the action by the South American trade bloc to suspend Venezuela for failing to follow democratic norms.
Andrew Stewart reporting from Washington. Starbucks is shooting down a rumor that its coffee shops will give discounted drinks and food to undocumented immigrants on August 11th. Senior Vice President of Global Communications John Kelly says the rumor is completely false, 100% fake. The bogus ads promise 40% off any menu item for undocumented immigrants on so-called Dreamer Day. More on these stories at townhall.com. Wells Fargo is expanding an internal review of its sales practices and says the move could uncover significantly more accounts opened by bank employees without customers' consent.
The San Francisco bank disclosed the broadened review at a filing Friday with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Wells Fargo has been trying to repair its reputation after admitting last fall that employees under pressure to meet aggressive sales targets opened as many as 2 million accounts without getting customers' permission. The company ended up paying $185 million to regulators and settled a class action suit for $142 million. Patrick Frost reporting.
Average price of a gallon of regular gas rose about a penny nationally over the past 2 weeks, $2.32, that according to industry analyst Trilby Lundberg. Most expensive gas in Reno, Nevada was at $2.99 a gallon. The cheapest could be found in Jackson, Mississippi at $1.97. Average diesel price, $2.51. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Durant.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
It's after the top of the hour right now. I'm Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email. Hey, love to hear from you. Okay, speak up. Let me know. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com, or you can even let us know your you know what's on your mind right away at hashtag BMartinezLive. The way it works, you know, just stay in touch. Your opinion does count here. Michelle Minton is joining us now. She's a libertarian analyst, Competitive Enterprise Institute's fellow, specializing in consumer policy, covering regulatory issues that include gambling, alcohol, as well as food, you know, those three important aspects of our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Michelle Minton, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about, let's talk about gambling. You know, the big question here, can online gambling survive our former casino owner president? That's the big question, huh?
Yeah, he's a wild card, is what I like to say, because he was very pro online gambling, pro gambling, obviously. But now that he's become a politician, things aren't exactly as clear. You know, we don't know where he stands on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So, what makes you nervous specifically about him disengaging from his earlier statements?
Well, it's more about his appointments. Jeff Sessions, for example, was asked during his confirmation hearing about online gambling, and he said he disagreed with the fact that the Justice Department was allowing the states to make their own decisions about the matter. So that's a little bit disturbing, since we already have three states that have online gambling, casino-style gambling, and quite a bit more, maybe about a dozen that have online lotteries.
Mm-hmm. Well, and interestingly enough, I thought you were going to say that Jeff Sessions wanted to recuse himself because he's getting some heat. And I don't know if Donald Trump's playing that card a little bit just to maybe knock the media off and make them wonder. And, you know, he was never real happy when Jeff Sessions recused himself on the Russia deal because he wanted to be a friend and almost seemed to acquiesce and lend credence to this whole Russian conspiracy argument that's taken place.
Yeah, and for a little bit of background, there's a casino owner, Sheldon Adelson, big GOP
yes.
donor, gives millions of dollars to Republicans. He's been trying to get the federal government to ban online gambling for a long time. And Jeff Sessions actually said that he would recuse himself from the online gambling issue. It's unclear mm-hmm. how sincere he is with that, you know, if he's going to just direct somebody below him to do what he wants. But because he recused himself because he retained, in the Russia scandal, he retained one of Sheldon Adelson's lawyers. So
right.
he was forced pretty much to say that he would recuse himself at the very least.
What's going on with Charlie Dent, the Pennsylvania Republican representative?
Yeah, so Charlie Dent, Republican, like you said, he has been, you know, I've been hearing rumors on the Hill that he's trying to introduce an amendment to the big budget bill that would write in some of this anti-online gambling language. And there have been bills. There have been at least two or three that Congress considered. They had two hearings on. people from both sides of the aisle hated it because, you know, Democrats hate anything Republicans introduce. Right. And a lot of Republicans didn't like it because, you know, they're very states' rights kind of people. They don't like the federal government coming in and telling the states they can't decide to do something or they have to decide to do something. So those bills went nowhere. Mm. And since they couldn't get the bill that way, you know, the appropriate way that legislation is passed, they're trying to sneak it in through a budget, like a, you know, 10,000-page budget deal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Michelle, give us the state of online gambling today as it stands.
Well, in the U.S., like I said, there's three states that have online gambling, Nevada, New Jersey, and Delaware, and a bunch of others really, they've been talking about passing legislation, there have been bills, they've been considering it, and so far, it's been pretty great. They're making tax money. People have a legal avenue to gamble online, whereas before they were just using offshore sites. There have been no incidents of what you know, people like Representative Jason Chaffetz said would happen. People in Utah were going to be able to access gambling from New Jersey. That's not happening. Kids aren't getting on. So far, everything seems pretty okay. It's just like normal gambling in the casino, except it's online. They follow all the same rules.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, as we know, online gambling was taking off, and you had a lot of offshore money. You talk about now repatriating those dollars. As you say, it's taxable, and it seems to, you know, we don't hear a lot of problems with this, so it must be working, and go figure, because the government is not sticking their fingers into this thing and trying to overregulate it, right?
Yeah, it was actually pretty great before the government got involved. A lot of people were making a lot of money, having fun, playing with these offshore sites. They're not regulated by the U.S., but they, because there's internet gambling in almost every other Western country, they were regulated by their own countries. Mm-hmm. And then the U.S. government came in and started shutting things down, and that's when problems started because people's money got locked up in the whole legal battle.
Exactly.
And it made people really nervous in the U.S. about online gambling. So it's taken a little while for it to pick up steam in the U.S. again now that it's back because people remember what happened and, you know, they don't know the legal complications of why it happened. They just remember I had money and it got locked up for 4 years and I don't want that to happen again. So when the government stays out of it, things pretty much, you know, the free market works. People don't go to sites where they lose money constantly. If there's some kind of cheating going on, they move to a different one.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, where do you see online gambling in the next 5 years?
Oh, there's no stopping it. I mean, it'll stay around. I think more states are going to legalize it. Pennsylvania, New York, West Virginia, maybe a couple of others are going to, big ones, California might legalize. And then once that happens, these moralistic arguments, or really what I think are motivated by special interest arguments, they're not going to have any weight in Congress because you're just going to have too many people making too much money.
As broke as California is, if they could find some new revenue centers, like online gambling, they're going to be all over it. I'm surprised they're not already.
They are. They've been considering bills for the last couple of years. And, you know, it's not just online gambling. Sports gambling is probably going to be legalized in the next 5 years in a lot of states. So there's a great new revenue sources for the states to, you know, fill these giant budget gaps.
Well, Michelle, you know, you really have thrown the gauntlet out before Congress right now because you say tax cuts, no. Obamacare repeal, no. Online gambling, yep. I mean, it's like, where are their priorities, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, that's the other thing about this. It looks so bad for Republicans to be focused on such a small issue, such an anti-federalism issue, you know, something that goes against their principles, that's clearly connected to the largest GOP, you know, the largest single GOP donor. Mm-hmm. It looks really terrible for them. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of Republicans don't like this. They don't want it to come up. They don't want to vote on it.
Yeah. It smacks of cronyism, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, you know, you say the Restoration of America's Wire Act, RAWA, is a piece of legislation that would extend the Federal Wire Act of 1961 to impose a federal ban on online gambling. And this is what you're saying that needs to be brought up and dealt with once and for all, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the law that was passed in the 60s that some people continue to insist banned internet gambling, even though the internet did not exist in the 1960s.
Yes, how could you ban something before it existed, right?
Exactly, and the language is very clear. Congress said they wanted the law to help states enforce their laws. They wanted to stop interstate sports gambling over, you know, telecommunications over the phone, because that's what the mob was using to make their money. They were, you know, but taking bets on horse races all around the country.
Exactly.
People trying to say that it was meant to ban online gambling, it never was, and they're trying to rewrite it because they can't get a bill passed that's a straight ban on internet gambling.
Well, internet gambling is here with three states and probably coming to a state near you in the coming years ahead, especially with the states looking for revenue. Michelle Minton has been with us, a Competitive Enterprise Institute fellow specializing in consumer policy, covering regulatory issues that include gambling, alcohol, and food. Michelle, good stuff. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, anytime.
All right.
At Humalife, we believe your health is your wealth. That's why we offer an exclusive, potent, and pure selection of OMRI-certified 100% organic humic and fulvic acid concentrates. These two acids stop viruses and harmful bacteria and increase frequency, vibration, and vitality. In fact, they're called the missing link to your health. Pure liquid organic ATP energy rebuilds and regrows the immune system. You are the doctor at Humalife. You know best because you are the test. Find out more at HumalifeUSA.com. That's HumalifeUSA.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Everything you've been told about identity theft prevention is a flat-out lie. No one can prevent identity theft. No one. Go to LibertyID.com and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. LibertyID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration. LibertyID fixes the fallout for you. LibertyID does all the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Truth and nothing but the truth. This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like us, pursuing the truth no matter where it leads, because it is that important. For too long, we were controlled by opinion, and dare I say that still has too much of a place. This is why the dawning of fake news has come upon us. So it is up to us, we the people, to be more discerning and keep asking questions. This is why we have Ryan Morrow on with us. Ryan is a national security analyst.
Shulman Fellow at the Clarion Project, a nonprofit organization that educates the public about the threat of Islamic extremism and provides a platform for voices of moderation and tolerance within the Muslim community, is a professor of Homeland Security, Counterterrorism, and Political Science. Ryan, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you back. Ryan, I was reading something the other day, and I don't know how I missed this about you, because I've tried to stay on top of you, not as close as the NSA, so to speak, but I was surprised to read that in the documents that were confiscated, by SEAL Team 6 when they had captured, killed Osama bin Laden, that he had some notes on you. Your name was part of this. I mean, how did this make you feel?
Cool.
Yeah.
basically, what happened was that he had the speaker information for the intelligence summit, which was like the most prestigious intelligence conference in the U.S. at the time. And I was one of the speakers there. I might have been speaking twice that year. And so he had my speaker's bio there. And so the question is, why, out of everything in the world, was Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda so interested in this conference that I was speaking at? And the reason, I think, is because a section of the conference was called the Secular Islam Summit, and it was basically a gathering of moderate Muslims and former Muslims that all came together to promote human rights and call for, like, a universal declaration of human rights within the Muslim world. And apparently they found that to be of enough concern to them that Osama bin Laden had to read the material.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that still is the situation today, where you have moderate Muslims, and if you want to say a bit secular as well. I'm sure when they hear secular aligned with, their faith, this was quite shocking, maybe like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction, right?
Right, right. Now, most of the participants were former Muslims, but there was a good representation of moderate Muslims by secular Islam. What they were referring to was the separation of mosque and state, which is, of course, a concept foreign to the history of Islam and Islam as it's seen by bin Laden and the major authorities. So it was a move for really big change, and Al Jazeera and the Arab and Muslim media outlets all showed up to cover this, often in a biased way, but they still covered it. And I don't know if something like that had ever received such coverage in the Muslim world before.
What is your assessment today with that, Ryan? I mean, we have a lot more Muslims representing a moderate Islam and, trying to get America, to maybe not, hold such a strong prejudice in light of all, these terrorist attacks that have been perpetrated by radical Islamists.
Well, you have different schools of thought. You have some people that will study the Quran, the Surah, the Hadith, and will say, oh, well, this is all a fake Islam. It's not compatible with the example of Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, these are all fakers. And that camp includes non-Muslims that study the faith and then Muslims that take that historical, literal interpretation. But then if you talk to people in the Middle East, you talk to Muslims, especially in the West, you find many that have a more elastic, more liberal version. And obviously there's a way to do that, even if it's not by the letter, every single letter of the holy book and the holy text, because so many Muslims do that. And the reason that happens is because they are peaceful people inherently, not ready to leave their faith, or was taught to them a particular way. And they say, okay, well, I know God has to be good, so I'm going to take the problematic areas of my faith and cut them out or reinterpret them in a modern fashion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that is the challenge, because meanwhile, the West is looking at this radicalism, and it would seem to be maybe, I want to say, pausing a bit to take a breath, maybe waiting to exhale. Although here in the West, we still, hear Muslims will say, look at the rule of law, Sharia, and America better get over it because Sharia is coming, you know, to this country.
Yeah, so the Islamists, those that view their faith as a political doctrine, which has been the historical practice of it, they say, well, it's inevitable that America and the entire world will fall under Sharia law. So we're not only supposed to pursue it as possible within what is productive as opposed to counterproductive, but we know eventually we will be victorious, even if it starts in the Middle East and has to spread to Europe and then elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And they believe that as essentially being the promise of God that you're going to be victorious.
And it
sounds crazy to most of us, but that is considered an inevitability in mm-hmm. most of the Muslim world.
Well, yeah, and I can, I understand it, that's their belief. Christians believe their tenets and, but meanwhile, you know, you've got a situation here, particularly in the United States, where you have freedom of religion. I mean, many Muslims, practicing Muslims, say they're more free practicing their religion here in the United States as opposed to, their home countries.
Yeah, and the reason that's such good defense for us, well, there's a few different levels. The first being in terms of the ideological battle between Western civilization and the Islamist ideology. The fact that Muslims, despite the fire-breathing propaganda of interest groups, that Muslims are well off, actually, in the U.S., and that's the truth, is that you hear about the hate crimes, but you don't hear about how many don't happen. And so our ideology being attractive and being so good to everyone, including Muslims, is really the light that keeps any type of moderate Muslim movement going, because there's a contrast. Say, okay, well, we can either go in the direction of the West, where we can have freedom of religion and everyone, including Muslims, is doing well, or you go in the direction of Islamism and theocracy that doesn't have much to show for it. The second element where that is a good defense of us in terms of our freedom of religion, how powerful that is in defending our security, is the fact that there are many radical Muslims who say that we condemn Al-Qaeda because they go too far, and as bad as America is, they haven't yet reached the point where you can carry out jihad on their homeland and start killing Americans. And so those people aren't moderate, but they're also not being activated. Why aren't they being activated? Because America truly is that great, and we truly do treat our minorities well.
Exactly. Well, and they have a choice to make, and they probably figure, okay, God's not ready to make that move yet, so we'll just hunker down, make the most of it. You know, we're living a lie, and we're covered by it because our religion accommodates, lying to justify, the end game. No problem here. And meanwhile, this is what the West is aware of. We're aware of some of these patterns. And we're going, okay, are you really a friend or a foe? What gives here?
Yeah, things would be a lot easier if the world was delineated into Al-Qaeda and ISIS types on one hand and then the United States and its allies on the other. It's that gray area where the battle's going to be won and where the future of the world is going to be decided.
Mm.
And that gray area is very complicated with a lot of nuance. So to use the example before, there are a lot of people who you would consider to be moderate because they condemn Al-Qaeda and ISIS, but then you find out they support Hamas.
Exactly.
Or you find out that they're promoting anti-American ideas, even if they're not necessarily violent, and trying to separate those out is what's difficult. Because if you go in too Western of a liberal direction with who you promote, it may not capture the attention of the Muslim world. But then if you sacrifice your values, then you're just assisting another form of evil that's a little bit more subtle and probably more skilled at undermining American interests.
Well, we've got more from Ryan Morrow. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. National Security Analyst Shulman Fellow at the Clarion Project. I'm Bill Martinez.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
800-501-1633. 800-501-1633. 800-501-1633. That's 800-501-1633.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
You are the air.
Live.
Hey, we're back with the America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. A conversation with Ryan Morrow continues. Ryan, of course, professor of Homeland Security, Counterterrorism, Political Science. Ryan, before we get into this U.S. group that's connected to terrorists in Kashmir, what's the update on al-Baghdadi? I mean, you know, we're hearing, you know, different reports. Russia says they took him out. Others saying, oh, no, an over-exaggeration. What's your read on that?
Most people think he's alive now because they would assume that if he was killed, ISIS would want to immediately respond to that and craft the narrative. You wouldn't want that information leaking out and then having the American media celebrate, and then that's all you're hearing. You'd want to immediately portray him as some type of martyr and glorify his death. But we also know from Mullah Omar and the Taliban terrorist group that sometimes they do cover up death for a very long time.
Right.
And ISIS has on some occasions waited weeks to announce someone's death. But most people think he's alive. But we're going to get him.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that unlike bin Laden, I don't see where he could go. So we're going to get him. But the problem is, for ISIS, and the good news for us is that I don't see anyone that can really fill his shoes.
Exactly. Well, and this is the thing right now when you consider where they are. They just lost Mosul, and they're being pushed out of the area here. And their theory, you know, their Blues Brother theory that they're on a mission from God is starting to fall apart a little bit. And you take al-Baghdadi out of the picture, You know, this is an even bigger hit and may tell ISIS it's time to, live another day, back off and regroup. And, because they keep moving forward here, especially with this chief executive officer that we have in the United States now, who is just not messing around and has empowered the military to make ground level decisions on rules of engagement. It's a different ballgame altogether now.
It is. ISIS was getting beaten up pretty bad under Obama. Now it's increasing under General Mattis as Secretary of Defense. You've seen sharp increases in the number of airstrikes and things like that. So civilian casualties are going up, but you're seeing more ISIS being killed, and that's really what's necessary. So ISIS is going to lose its capital, Raqqa, to U.S.-backed rebels within the next few months, and then that'll be it. That'll be the last major town that they hold of ideological significance, and then after that, it's basically a cleanup operation, which there'll still be a lot of bloodshed because you have the people that have nowhere else to go, and they're going to do a last stand along the Iraqi-Syrian border. Mm-hmm. But I don't see how they recover from that. But even if you defeat ISIS, the problem is that the remnants are going to go somewhere, and they're going to go probably to Al-Qaeda's branch in Syria, which is now the largest affiliate Al-Qaeda has ever had, with an army of up to 20,000 people, I'm seeing some estimates. And that's the army. That's not including the supporters that Al-Qaeda has there.
Exactly. Right.
And they're getting smarter by learning from their mistakes and learning from ISIS's mistakes. And then in Iraq, you still have a network of Iranian-backed militias that when you talk to Iraqis, you talk to Kurds, you talk to Christians, they say that's the next round in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So we've got some major problems right around the corner.
Ryan, you made a statement about how aggressive Barack Obama, President Obama, was toward ISIS. And there are some perceptions that he was a bit soft, but boy, nobody used drones like he did. It would seem is that he wanted to avoid the boots on the ground and conducting warfare that approximates anything like Mattis is conducting right now.
Right. I mean, the Obama administration made a lot of bad mistakes in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria. But when it comes down to it, if you look at where ISIS was, and ISIS did rise on his watch, so President Obama is responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at when he left office, ISIS was in much weaker shape. And that's because when he was finally forced to respond, because of the threat of genocide and terrorism on American soil, which would have forced any president to ban, he did respond, and Al-Qaeda was losing. And the drone strike has been very successful. The drone strike campaign, I mean, very successful in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And you can always say, well, that there's this flaw, there's this mistake. But I think it's important to give positive reinforcement when our leaders are doing something that we agree with and to appreciate the difficulty of those decisions that we agree with instead of just focusing on what they're not doing.
Well, no doubt the success that we're having now, it's been a little bit of a hand in glove, and probably that was one of the more positive handoffs from the Obama administration to the Trump administration, don't you think?
I think so. When it comes to Al-Qaeda and the drone strike campaign, I think President Obama, by any standard, exceeded expectations. When it comes to ISIS, they still rose up on his watch. Even though the blitz across Iraq was something that I don't think anyone saw and could have prepared for, when you first started seeing the flickers of the darkness coming back into Iraq, that was covered by the media. When Fallujah fell and what was like a terrorist flag was put over it, and people were saying, a lot of Americans have died to take that. And how come we haven't gone in and stopped it from falling back in the hands of terrorists? That was before ISIS came in and created the caliphate.
Yes, exactly.
There were things we could have stamped out to prevent or at least limit that from happening that I think most people in that position would have said, We need drone strikes. We need to come to the Iraqis' aid. This is bad news. But President Obama felt that the more we get intervene in these type of things, the more blowback there is, and that's what causes terrorism. And I think that way of thinking is flawed.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Ryan, tell us about this U.S. group that is being reportedly connected to terrorists in the Kashmir.
Sure. Well, this group, Jamaat al-Fukra, also known as Muslims of America, and the reason they go by the name Muslims of America is because what's it sound like when you criticize them? It sounds like you're attacking all Muslims.
Right.
Or boom. But they have a network of Islamic villages like Islamburg across the United States. And although sometimes there are exaggerated news reports about what they're doing and the threat that they pose, I study the group very intensely. And what really concerns me is that if you actually read their literature, which most people don't do, you see sympathy being expressed for this specific jihadist group in Kashmir that's backed by the Pakistani government. Mm-hmm. And this is a vicious group. And the Muslims of America group is basically calling on their Islamic villages to provide support and get other Muslims to support their jihad against India in Kashmir. But their jihad against India is just a precursor to the jihad against the United States. They're connected to all sorts of Al-Qaeda-type groups. And this type of subtle support usually indicates that something bigger is going on behind the scenes, because you usually don't broadcast your support for a jihadist group openly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you have a network in the U.S. that's connected to this group that most people haven't heard of, Bul Mujahideen, but is very, very important in terms of the circle of Pakistani jihadist groups. And this doesn't get any attention because the media doesn't understand the issue, and everyone's convinced that Islamburg and these villages are just the martyrs that we've been waiting for. And you're a bigot if you criticize them.
Exactly. Well, in your reporting, this is the largest militant force in Kashmir. I mean, this is significant. I mean, how are we missing this?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. The reason you're missing it is because everyone is focused on Syria, Libya, and Iraq as being the ground zeros of the jihad right now. There's usually some place when jihad is really strong, some place that's pulling in people. It's like a gravitational force, and that's what the exciting jihadists are saying. We need to go fight there. That's the spot. But now you're having many more. You're having it happen in the Philippines, where online jihadists are extremely excited about that, seeing that as basically the new Syria.
Exactly.
But more broadly, Kashmir could be it, too. And that's what this group is trying to make happen.
Well, as you said earlier, it's fighting to create a theocratic Islamic state and caliphate. So here we are. We're exchanging one territory for another, aren't we?
Yes, if we keep focusing just on specific areas instead of the ideology broadly, yes, it's going to continue to happen.
Well, we got to leave it right there. Ryan Morrow, National Security Analyst, the Shulman Fellow at the Clarion Project. Ryan, as always, appreciate the insight, buddy. Thank you. Be safe.
Thank you.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
This report is brought to you by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Clinical trial recruitment is a challenging step in the development and FDA approval of new treatments. This is especially true for patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, collectively known as inflammatory bowel disease. According to Michael Osso, president and CEO of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation,
there are many good treatments available, but for some they stop working. For others, none of the current treatments work at all, and that's why it's critical that there be more treatment options available.
The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation is addressing this need with the launch of their dedicated clinical trials community. It has been created to educate and raise awareness of clinical trials among patients, caregivers, and healthcare providers, improve communication with patients and providers, and provide resources to identify and participate in clinical research. Osso adds,
the clinical trials community provides our patients with the opportunity to be citizen scientists, helping inform research that will affect the future of IBD.
To learn more, visit CrohnsColitisFoundation.org.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads. And in some cases, that truth can be inconvenient. As Al Gore uses his alarmist and inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power, he says. Of course, this is his latest documentary to promote the use of so-called renewable energy sources. Well, we have a report that the energy use at the residence of the former vice president shows that he fails to practice what he preaches. And here to tell us more about it is Drew Johnson. Drew, how you doing?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing terrific. Thank you so much for being with us. Drew is a senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. And this is something that was looked into after his first inconvenient truth. And on the surface, he seemed to correct it because the hypocrisy back then was so blatant. But now, as a follow-up, it's even worse than what it was before. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's exactly right. So about 10 years ago, after Gore won the Academy Award for his quote-unquote documentary, the first Inconvenient Truth film, I started wondering to myself, like, is this guy actually practicing what he preaches? Because I knew where he lived. I lived in Nashville at the time. And I got a hold of his record bill, of his utility records, rather. Mm-hmm. And what we found at the time was that he was using about 20 times more electricity than the average American household. So Basically, what it would take 20 years for you and your family to use, he used in a year. And so he pulled the old I have sinned routine and said, you know, I'm going to finally be somebody that environmentalists can look up to. And he spent about $300,000 getting solar panels and geothermal heating and new insulation and windows and all the sorts of stuff he tells us to do. And so when this new movie was announced, and it's opening today, this Friday, I looked again to see what his electric usage was. And since he admitted to sinning and put in $300,000 worth of eco-friendly updates, his electricity usage went from 20 times the national average to almost 22 times the national average. So it's actually increased.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, and you can only imagine he's probably going to claim some sort of inflationary utility rule in it, you know, to try to give himself some kind of plausible deniability. But how embarrassing when, you know, this gets out. There are good leaks and there's bad leaks. And this isn't necessarily a leak. I mean, this is just good reporting and journalism that you were able to find out this information.
And to go back to your point, if you look at the actual kilowatt hours and compare apples to apples in 2007 and 2017, he actually uses more today than he used back then. So it's not, you know, people are using less or people are using more. He's using more today. So, yeah, this is something that anybody could have gotten. And that's what he needs to kind of keep in mind is that we can hold him accountable and we should hold him accountable because if it were a religious leader cheating on his wife or,
right.
you know, a member of Congress, a Republican not paying his taxes when he says we should have lower taxes, we would hold them accountable. The Republican Party, the congregation would shun that person. And these environmentalists go back to him time and time again. This is a guy who... He's got a different meter for his pool than his house, so we can isolate his pool. His pool uses enough electricity every year to power six average American homes. So six times more electricity in his pool than your house.
What is that? One big, hot tub or something? I mean, you know, to be using that much energy? I mean, that's incredible.
He must use it in the winter and keep it at 102 degrees, right? Like it's a spa. I can't imagine.
I guess, yeah, exactly. Well, and this is, he's got a couple houses, right? This isn't just out of one house.
Correct. So he has two other houses in America and supposedly a place in London as well. But three total houses in America that we know of. So we're talking about one of his three houses. We're also not including the fleet of SUVs he drives around in, or his private plane rides, or he's got a 100-foot houseboat in Tennessee. So this is just scratching the surface. This 21 times the national average. He's much worse than even this story.
Yeah, he's got a carbon footprint that goes even beyond Sasquatch here.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes me wonder if he even believes this stuff. It makes me wonder, you know, last time I thought, well, he just hadn't been caught and, you know, he's going to get better. I've come to the conclusion that, you know, he's basically created this religion, this, like, environmentalist fervor, and these people look to him as a prophet. I think he's a false prophet and just exploits this issue, which a lot of people genuinely care about and should, to make a buck. And he's made more than a buck. He's made $300 million since leaving the vice president's office. $300 million, and all of that is on the back of, you know, climate change hysteria, which he's basically ginned up himself.
Exactly. Well, you know, it is amazing when you think about what he has done since he's left office, as you say, and generated this kind of income. And you want to say on the back of a false prophecy, because for those of us who respect the office of the prophet, we know that its validity is based on truth. And so if it doesn't fulfill its warning or its promise, then it proves to be a false prophet. And in the old days, they used to get rid of false prophets. Today, they just live another day. And they make a sequel, I guess.
I guess so. This is a really frustrating thing about environmentalists. I mean, if you're an environmentalist listening to this, if you care about the environment, if it's one of your main topics, please get rid of him as your spokesperson. I mean, get rid of him as your figurehead. He is an embarrassment to you. There are plenty of people who actually walk the walk, but you know, he simply does not practice what he preaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that clearly is the case, and that's coming out loud and clear. And then part of it goes back to, I guess, his own state of mind and his own sense of arrogance, because he feels, I mean, when you hear him talk, he promotes this aspect, this kind of aristocracy that he wants us to believe that we're somehow blessed to even have him working on our behalf.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is he lies and he knows it and he thinks he's not going to get caught. So it feeds into everything you're saying. He, for example, I'll give you a lie he told recently. My house runs 100% on renewable energy. Mm-hmm. I looked to see how many, you know, kilowatt hours his solar panels generate. They generate plenty for an average American household to live completely off the grid. They generate enough electricity for Al Gore to live for 3 weeks out of a year. 5.7% of his total energy consumption. And then you look at the energy that's coming in just off the electric grid in Nashville. It's maybe 12% renewable between hydro and wind and solar. So if you add everything together and sort of squint your eyes and tilt your head just right, you can say he almost uses 20% renewable energy sources in his home. And this lying charlatan is going around telling people he uses 100%. He's a liar. He's not someone to be trusted or believed. He's a hypocrite. Mm-hmm.
Well, you say that during the September, and I think this must be a typo because we're not quite there yet. I think it was probably 2016 billing cycle that Gore gobbled more energy in 1 month than 34 average U.S. households. Boy, how do you square that number up?
You can't. I mean, if you're living a normal life, to think that somebody could use 34 times more electricity, and this guy has a big house, but even if you get it down to square footage, or a mansion is the size of his, he's using 8 times, 10 times, 12 times more than people with the same size houses. So, I mean, even the most apples-to-apples comparison, this guy's a huckster. So, yeah, in one single month, he used 34 times the average American household's electricity consumption.
Well, it is hypocrisy right before you, and of course you should be reminded. I think this is the challenge, you know, for people that go to see the sequel, is you can't help but reminded of all the untruths that were perpetrated on us. I mean, on the people. I mean, he was awarded for this. Hollywood acknowledged him and gave him an Oscar. I mean, it's just it's insane. But with a straight face, he comes back to live another day, and I don't know how it doesn't remind people of the of the past lies.
And beyond this hypocrisy in his life, I mean, the first movie was, 80% debunked? And the speculation and the estimates about what would happen in the future have not happened. And so now he comes out with a new movie and comes out with a new speculations. And those, of course, won't come true either. But as long as there are those people, what this comes down to is it isn't about the environment. It's about him making money, and it's about public policy. It's about him wanting to basically take over the means of production and the economy and basically push this progressive agenda he has, this pseudo-socialism he has, and he's using the environment as a way to make that happen. So just remember, when this guy talks, there's nothing but hot air coming out, very literally.
Exactly. Well, his carbon footprint much bigger than some would think, or even what he has admitted to, without a doubt. Drew Johnson, thank you so much for bringing the facts to us. Drew is a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, also serves as a senior scholar at the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, as well as a columnist at Newsmax and a contributor to the Daily Caller. Drew, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.